Abel his wife came to him and said unto him, Jezebel his wife said unto him, Dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, and sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in his city, dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters, saying, Proclaim a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, or worthlessness, before him, to bear witness against him, saying, Thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out, and stone him, that he may die. The men of the city, even the elders and the nobles, who were the inhabitants of the city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and as it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them. They proclaimed a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people. There came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him. The men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones that he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. And it came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, Arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive but dead. It came to pass, when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he has gone down to possess it. Thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, In the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said to Elijah, Hast thou found me, O mine enemy? He answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and will take away thy posterity, and will cut off from Ahab all males, and shall set up and left, or set up and left in Israel. And you'll make thine house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, for the provocations wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, The dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city the dog shall eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. And he did very abominably in following idols according to all things, as did the Amorites, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. The background of our message tonight is very interesting. I'm sure you're all aware of the lineup of the books of the Bible. In Genesis, you have the book of beginnings. Then you have the book of redemption in Exodus, redemption out of Egypt by blood. Then you have the book of worship in Leviticus. When you come to Numbers, you have exactly what the word says, the numbering of the children of Israel into three groups, worshippers, warriors, and workers. When you come to Deuteronomy, and that gives you the land of promise in perspective. God is telling them all about the land of promise and what it's like. But in Joshua, you have the possession of that inheritance. Under Joshua, the children of Israel went in, and they possessed their inheritance. God divided that nation, that piece of land, known as the Promised Land, up into 12 sections. Each tribe got his or her section. And it's very remarkable that God didn't leave it up to any human surveyor. God himself was the surveyor. And so, all that land, the 12 tribes and their inheritance, the land was divided according to God's method. And God told exactly the directions and the distance, and each tribe had its portion. And then again, God divided that one portion belonging to that one tribe, the tribe of Issachar, into family sections. And each family got his portion. And this man Naboth was in the tribe of Issachar. So his family got his inheritance. Now that went down in God's book. And that was precious to an Israelite. That was his inheritance from the Lord. And God says, you're not to sell it, and you're not to trade it. You keep it. And if under any circumstances you get poor, and you have to sell it, at the year of Jubilee, that piece of land goes back to you, the original owner. It is yours forever. And I'll tell you, those Israelites, they held precious that piece of property. It was a piece of Emmanuel's land. And the children of Israel, they loved that inheritance of the Lord. So we come to our passage here that we were speaking on part of it this morning. And Ahab has his big palace in Jezreel. Well, he wants Naboth's vineyard. Naboth's inheritance was near to the palace. And so Ahab went over to this man, and he said, I want your piece of property. I want your lovely garden. Evidently, it was a lovely garden. Possibly because it was near to the palace. Naboth took great care of it and was very particular as to how it looked. But Naboth, he had plenty of his own. But he coveted Naboth's vineyard. Covetousness. What does the Lord Jesus say about covetousness? Take heed and beware of covetousness. Covetousness is a bad thing. Covetousness. And here you have a real illustration of what covetousness is. This portion illustrates the danger, the sin, the awful results of such a course. My covetousness is God is idolatry. Idolatry. God hates anything that replaces him or his decision in another. And so here is Ahab brought up with a Jewish background. He knew all about the inheritances of the children of Israel. But he said, I want him. I want him. He had plenty of his own. Why did he want Naboth? As king, he had plenty. As far as that's concerned, he could have ordered his army to walk in, take over. But instead of that, he began to sulk. When Naboth said no, as you'll notice what he said in verse 4, I think it is. And Ahab came into his house, verse 3, and Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbidded me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house, heavy and displeased, because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken him, for he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would not eat, would eat no bread. Something for a king to do. He just went in and got in bed, and like a spoiled child, he turned his face to the wall and he sucked. This you have an illustration of a man who was covered. In this solemn passage, you have traced the steps in the path to Christ. And the way to avoid reaching the rule or the end of this path of crime that begins with covetousness is to walk in the ways of the Lord as you have in Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is he that walketh in the path all righteousness. Blessed is he that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Who? This man walketh in the ways of the Lord, and God blesses him like the trees planted by the rivers of water. And here is Naboth. He's coveting what this other man, Naboth, had coveted. This is the first step. What are some of the other steps? Possessions lead to covetous. I want more. Ahab, you've got plenty. Well, I want more. I want what he's got. Oh, we can never satisfy the human heart. When we've made our first million, should we be so successful, we've got to try for the second. And when we make the second, we've got to try for the third. Man is never satisfied. He's got covetousness within his heart. And so when man has some possession, he's not satisfied. He wants more, and that leads to discontent. Possession, covetousness, then discontent. They're discontent. Discontent. This world is suffering with discontent. And yet man in this nation has never been so well off. This affluent society. Men have never made the wages that they've made today. Still, they're in a state of discontent. Discontent leads to evil counsel. Because Jezebel came in. And what did she say in verse 5? But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said of him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. Now notice this conniving woman. Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread. Let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard. Naboth, the Jezreelite. Evil counsel. And this led the lie. She got through men to tell lies. And the result of those lies, murder. And following murder, a dreadful retribution. That's the path. There are the steps. They begin with covetousness. Then you have discontent. Then you have evil counsel. Then you have lies. Then you have murder. And then the awful wages, retribution. Very sad to read something like this, isn't it? Poor Jezebel. What a character she was. What a wicked, wicked woman. And she's referred to as such in the Bible. But notice Naboth. Naboth stood up to the king. He said, I'm not going to give you my vineyard. It wasn't churlishness on his part or stubbornness. Why wouldn't he give him the vineyard? Maybe Naboth offered him a bigger piece of land. Maybe he offered him 10 times more than the piece of land was worth. No, there was a principle. And Naboth wouldn't go against that principle. God says, this is your piece of land forever. And David said, I will not go against God's law. This is my piece of land. I will not sell it. I will not take it. This is mine, and I will not sell it. I wonder if we are as proud over our inheritance. I wonder if we will fight for our inheritance. What do we have? Wonderful inheritance. Our inheritance is in Jesus Christ. We have an eternal inheritance. We have this blessed book. Oh, what a wonderful book we have. And oh, what an heritage it is. Page after page of wonderful truth, just like green pastures. And you can go from one field to other, the other field, and get all that your little heart can take in, these wonderful treasures. These wonderful principles in God's Word, the principles that we seek to obey, as to a New Testament church. No, I'll not sell these principles. God gave these principles to me. I'll not sell them. I'll not trade them. They're mine. And God forbid that I should give 1 inch of those principles away. One inch of my inheritance, all that I have in Christ. So Naboth should know, as we have them, verse 3. You know, one has to admire how Naboth could stand. But I say it might have been a temptation with drop more land elsewhere, and also the price that Ahab was willing to pay. No, his God came first. His God came first. I'm going to abide with and be satisfied with and be content with what God marked out for me. I'm satisfied. I've never wanted some other place. I never wanted a larger place. God in his wisdom said that this was mine. I'm satisfied with it. I don't want the other man's. I'm satisfied right here. God marked this patch out. This land is mine. God gave me the deed. It's mine forever. That's what we should do about the things God has given us. These are mine. They're mine forever. Had he given in to Ahab, he would have broken that divine law that God had given relative to inheritance. And you notice how wicked Jezebel, when she saw her husband cast down and sulking, said, you king of this nation, all these armies at your command and your commander in chief, and one man dare stand up to you right next to our palace garden? Why, liquidate that thing. She was more cunning than that. She said, all right, here, I'll do this. Yes, I'll take care of this. And what did she do? Well, she wrote letters in the king's name, and she got the king's seal. And he knew why she was asking for that seal. After you notice that in verse 8, she wrote these letters with the king's seal. She proclaimed a fast, making it look something like religious. Make me look something solemn, proclaim a fast. She said, exalt Naboth, set up on high. And she says, put two sons of the Belial, worthlessness, two liars, in front of it. And when the fast and the feast is at its peak, those two men are to swear that Naboth blasphemed the Lord. And they did exactly that. And when they blasphemed the name of blasphemed the Lord, they took Naboth without a trial. They took him out of school. The dirty deed was done. No trial, just brutal murder. And so they sent word to Jezebel that Naboth was dead. And she went in and she said to her husband, arise, Naboth's dead, no longer alive. The vineyard's yours. And he didn't say, well, what did you do to get it? He wasn't concerned about how or what you did to get it. All he was satisfied with, I've got it. Naboth's dead, he's out of the way. What heartless characters you find in the word of flowers. You notice, in this situation, you have five parties in this picture. You have Naboth, the innocent man. You have, in verses 7 to 15, you have Ahab, the wicked king, asleep, sulking. You have Jezebel, the queen. You have the elders. And then you have the witnesses. Quite a crowd. And I'll tell you, there's someone looking on in this situation that they didn't seem to realize. Ahab, he rose from his bed, and he went out. And he walked in the garden. He looked it all over. My, this is a lovely garden. I've been coveting these trees, these flowers, for a long time. I looked at them and thought, my, I wish that were mine. And now he walks down the paths of that garden. And he smells the flowers. He looks at the trees and all the gardens. Possibly their pools of sprinkling water. Ah, this is mine. This is mine. And all of a sudden, a well-known voice that hadn't been heard for 5 years speaks up. who is it? Elijah. He hadn't heard of Elijah, possibly since Christ. And here is Elijah. And Elijah appears upon the scene. It must have been wonderful enough for Elijah to have heard the word of the Lord coming unto him. In verse 17, and the word of the Lord came unto Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Elijah might have thought, I thought I was on the ship. I thought the Lord was through with me. I was away down there in the mountain, in Horeb. And God had to set a thing to me for 5 or 6 years. And now he gives me a fresh command. Is this the same old Elijah? Indeed it is. Here's old Elijah back in fellowship and communion with God again. He's afraid of none. Afraid of none. The king was selfish and weak. And poor queen, she was resourceful. The elders were nerveless and corrupt. And the witnesses were liars and murderers. And Elijah knows that Ahab is coming into the garden. And he's not afraid now. There are 2 bodyguards given us in chapter 9 of the second book of Kings. 2 ruthless bodyguards with their spears. And Elijah knew they were going to be there with Ahab. And Jezebel wasn't far away. The palace was not very far off. But here's Elijah. He's in that garden. He has no fear in his heart. This is old Elijah again. And he brushes aside all things like a child would brush aside a cobweb through the garden gate. Elijah walks right up just when Ahab is just taking in what he thinks it is. And what a message Elijah had for that wicked man. What does he say? He says in verse 19, thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? Ahab could have said, I didn't kill. My wife killed. Yes, but it was your seal. Hast thou killed and taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. Ahab said unto Elijah, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? He was a man that made Ahab the king freeze in his steps. Just as he walked into that stolen treasure. Yes, stolen treasures. They're very fleeting treasures. Ahab stole this piece of property. He stole Naboth's home and his garden. And he didn't have long to enjoy it. Stolen treasures are but fleeting treasures. He met God's servant right in the midst of the garden. And he said of Elijah, you have been found me, hast thou found me, you're my enemy. How do you know that Elijah was his best friend? If there had been any sign of repentance on the part of the king Ahab, Elijah would have been the first who prayed for him and told him of the God who forgives all who repent. But no, down deep in Ahab's heart, the dagger was too deep. He couldn't pull it out. You're my enemy. Hast thou found me, O my enemy? Elijah didn't back up. Yes, I come. And this is what God has to say about you. You're going to die right on this plot of ground. And the dogs will lick your blood. More than that, your wife's going to die here. This soil that you coveted is going to be stained with your blood, the blood of Jezebel, your wife, and the blood of your son, and the blood of your grandson. This is the burial place of all your dreams right here. Quite a sentence of retribution. It all began with apology. Sad, sad price to pay for getting what you want. A sad price. And as This man walked into the garden, feeling himself alone. He didn't realize that a holy God was looking down, observing the whole situation, watching the scene, and at the appropriate time, the moment, said, "All right, Elijah, go and speak." This is a different confrontation on the Mount Carmel, when Elijah destroyed all the prophets of Baal and commanded the heavens to give rain. Ahab was free on that occasion to go back to his palace. But this is one time, Ahab, this is one time you're not going to rejoice in what you take. These are stolen treasures, and they're going to be victory. Yes. Thou hast sold thyself the word evil in the sight of the Lord. How often that can be true of us. We sell ourselves the word evil in the sight of the Lord. We can sell our joy. We can sell our fellowship. We can sell our usefulness. We can sell our fruitfulness. The word evil in the sight of the Lord. Covetousness. Oh, yes. Many a man has coveted money. He's got it. Only to his own degradation and shame. I could tell you a young man now, we're talking about this Bobby Bruton and the position he had and how he was over 40 states. Another young fellow about that same capability. I mentioned this McCain name one time before. He was saved up in North Carolina. He had a similar job. But he wasn't satisfied. He wanted high. Bobby Bruton gave up his job with all its money to serve the Lord and to go around among God's people and give these lectures that he wants to give here in Albany. Today he's a happy young man. This other young fellow, I think I mentioned I was in Atlanta about a year ago, and I was taking a drink at the water fountain. I had another brother with me who was inside that huge new hotel, just went through to take a look at it. And so I sat beside him looking around. I said, "Wait a minute, I got to go and get something to drink." And I went over and got a drink of water. And while I was drinking, two men went by. And I kind of looked up, and one turned around and he came back. He said, "You must do it," I said. "Well, I'll tell you, he helped me out. I haven't seen him for years." I said, "Now, what's your situation, sir?" Oh, he said, "Sad story. He's not telling. The whole thing is, I wanted to be like you. I wanted to be like Brother McKay." And he said, "I couldn't. And I lost heart." Oh, so he said, "I went into making money. I went to Sharp. I had a big job. I had an offer to go higher. I went higher." And he says, "I'm right here in this hotel with the manager, the owner of our business. And I've got all the money I want." But he says, "I'm not happy. I'm not happy." He says, "The other day, I went by my daughter's room, and I heard her voice, and I thought that doesn't sound like she's talking to anybody. The mother was out the kitchen. I went over and I heard her pray." He says she was praying for her daddy. "Lord, don't let daddy go after more money. Lord, restore daddy." I said, "Will you confirm that now?" He gripped my hand. He says, "Pray for me. I haven't heard anything. Here you have the, oh, that covetousness, the love for money. Coveting place, coveting position, coveting what another man has." Yes, it could be coveting another man's wife. That's going to be fleeting pleasures by stolen treasure. It may be coveting another woman's husband. You want what belongs to another man, and you would dare to covet. That too is the way to sell yourself to do evil in the sight of the Lord. God has bound them together. That's sacred. Don't you touch that inheritance. God will see to it that your coveted treasures will be treated pleasures. It will bless. That's true of this man, Ahab. It didn't last. I wonder if you're going to learn these lessons tonight. Be sure your sin will bind you up. You can't get away with it. Ahab thought he was getting by with it. But I know, right in the very garden where he stood, his own blood was spilled. Right in that same plot, his wife's blood, his son's blood, his grandson's blood. Was it worth it, Ahab? No. And we read in those last verses, I want you to notice that. It says, and verse 26, and he did very abominably in following idols according to all things as did the Amorites whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. But here's something that amazes me. And it came to pass when Ahab heard those words that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. And the word of the Lord came unto Elijah the Tishbite, saying, see, seest thou how Ahab humbled himself before me? Because he humbled himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his day, but in his son's day will I bring the evil upon his house. When I read that yesterday, I thought, oh, the amazing grace of God. This quick, ruthless, ungodliness, causing so much suffering to others, committing such horrible sins, yet God put such a high price on contrition, repentance, that God says, well, I, on the day of justice, I'll extend the blessing. In other words, when you change God, when you soften up, God will soften up. That's man's hope. How God, a God of mercy, a God of justice and righteousness, could change so quickly as he did on this occasion. It just makes one mark at the grace and kindness of Almighty God to allow a human being, a little old tiny maggot of a man, who have defied the Almighty and give him another chance. The heart would say, yet that's how good our God, that's how gracious our God, that's how wonderful he is. He's ready to part. And then you're ready to crack and you break and your heart is bent and broken and you see yourself the sinner, the sin against God. God will see those tears, that trembling lip. God will say, I'll forgive you. All your sin, return unto me. I have redeemed you. Who has such a pardoning God like me? Who has grace so rich, so free? And I trust against this dark background of Israel. There was no forgiveness for Jezebel. She was just too much. She gloried in her death, as we noticed this morning. But Ahab evidently was his background. Days in his youth, when as a lad he went to the synagogue, and he heard the word of God through the lips of the prophet. Maybe some of those early days floated back over the years. And Ahab realized there was a living God after all that he had forgotten so many years. And he broke. God said to Elijah, tell him, I'll spare you. You know you. That judging hand will not fall. Why, Ahab could have had a wonderful time to really open his heart and give him the rest of his life to the living God, but he didn't. He didn't make use of that little period given to him. He went back to his wicked ways. And just as we read, he was shot riding in the chariot out to war. He'd gone to battle, And the enemy soldier drew his arrow and he struck him in the heart. And he says, get me to the heart. And Ahab died in his chariot. And his blood ran out into the chariot floor. And when they lifted him out of the chariot, they washed the blood out on the fox, and the dogs came and licked it up, just to fulfill the scripture. And yours is the first they have. Jeremiah and Jezebel will follow, your son and grandson. How great God is. It is such a sinner, such a sinner, after he had learned from bitter experience that stolen treasures are but fleeting treasures, and thus will all come. Maybe a boy comes that has a dead blood, brother, maybe, and distribution. Many who are not Christians tonight, we urge you to come to the Savior. Oh, life pleasures are so fleeting, and they are so few. And I have but a little place, it doesn't take much to fill up my heart. And so Christ is the only one that can. You can't put a heart in a round circle. You've got some empty places. You can't get this whole world into your heart. Your heart just can't take it all in. There'll be some vacancy. There's only one who can fill the whole circle. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ, that God so loved the world. He loves all of you, spirit, soul, and body. And he wants you. And he's willing to pay the price for you tonight. The price, the blood of Christ. Oh, that you trust him. And trust him now. Save your soul. Save your life. Don't waste either life. They're too precious. You've only got one life. Will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, in the name of our Lord Jesus, we come into thy presence. We ask thy blessing upon thy grace. We thank thee for these truths that thou hast left upon the page of inspiration, left for our warning, left behind these warnings to the heart of love, behind these danger signals, there's a God who cares. May we not brush aside the beam of the lighthouse that warns us of a rocky shore. May we not condemn the surgeon's lance when he's trying to better our health. May we not call the hounds of God that are on our track as if they were to kill us when they're but hounds of mustard wanting. Bless us, O Father, we ask thee to bless thy word to one and all, as we did to our brothers. In the Lord Jesus.